This is the Statman Sports Podcast, where we keep topics in context. This is your host, Steve Duffus, who is still wondering why the Seahawks didn't run the ball.
It's a beautiful day to talk sports, baby. Welcome to episode number 60 of the Statman Sports Podcast. This is your host, Steve Duffus. Welcome, everybody. This is our first episode of the year 2020. Man, a wonderful decade has just passed us. So many great things have happened in my life, and I hope the same has happened for you. I hope you guys enjoyed your Christmas. I hope you guys enjoyed your New Year. Of course, you know, we have a lot of resolutions going into New Year's all the time, so I hope you guys reach all your goals, of course. And I'm ready to do this, man. I'm just ready. I'm refreshed. You got to notice we have taken a small break here and there right before the end of the year. You know, burnout and everything that's been going on also in sports. But I just wanted to take my time to, you know, recharge and get back on it. And we're back on it, man. Like I said, first episode of 2020. You guys are wondering, what are we going to get into this year? Well, before we get into all that, I just want to thank all of you who've been here on the podcast since day one. Those of you who are listening for the first time through Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, whichever your platform is that you're tuning in from, just want to welcome you once again. And you're in for a great new ride, man. Like I said, the last episode of 2019, we're going to have some new things coming in, some new segments. We're going to, you know, revamp some things about our podcast for us to do some new and improved things so you can keep you guys engaged and entertained in the world of sports. And of course, most importantly, break down the statistics that really matter and show you how this works out in the sports world. Again, you guys are wondering, what are we talking about this week? Well, the NFL playoffs is about to start. Week 17 brought us some amazing matchups that ultimately determined the seeding for the NFC, also for the AFC, and some matchups that I didn't expect are coming up in the NFL playoff. And I'm going to take the time, this podcast, this episode, to break it down for you guys. We're going to go over some numbers. We're going to see how they're going to help some teams win or actually have some teams lose. And we'll see what the outcomes are going to be. I'm going to give my predictions. And from there, we're going to go. So with no further ado, man, let's just get right into it. What are you talking about, bro?
Huh? What are you talking about, man?
Woo!
What? Bro, what are you talking about, man?
So let's start off talking about, obviously, the Wild Card weekend. You know, to me, the most exciting weekend aside from the Super Bowl and the NFL playoffs. And this year we have some absolutely nice matchups that I really didn't expect, man. Some teams have been in the playoff that I thought would never make it to the playoff based on a myriad of things. I never thought the Buffalo Bills would ever make it to the playoff again, simply because they're in the same division as the New England Patriots. And we all know how the New England Patriots have been dominating the playoff scenario, the AFC, for the past decade. Absolutely. You know, just running over every team, you know, just getting byes, playing two games at home, making it to the Super Bowl and practically winning every time. So I never thought the Buffalo Bills would come out that division, much less make the playoffs. But they're in the playoffs. And for this podcast, I decided to, you know, I want to go over some strengths and weaknesses of each team and go over some statistics that I think we got to play, talk about and view to understand how these teams are going to be impacted come playoff time. We all know about the New England Patriots. They are the model of consistency. They don't necessarily need to make any adjustments. The one adjustment they've been making for the past 10 plus seasons is they literally just adapt to what the defense gives them. And that's how they've been winning myriad of Super Bowls. But let's focus on this weekend, this Saturday game. The first game on Saturday is going to feature the Buffalo Bills versus the Houston Texans, followed by the Tennessee Titans and the New England Patriots. Then on Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, we're going to have the Minnesota Vikings versus the New Orleans Saints. And that's followed by the marquee game, I think, everybody's looking forward to. Russell Wilson versus Carson Wentz, Seattle Seahawks versus the Philadelphia Eagles. The injured Philadelphia Eagles, very, very, very injured Philadelphia Eagles. Like half of the players on the team, we don't even know who they are. And yet, they made it above the so-called talented Dallas Cowboys who were supposed to make the Super Bowl. I don't even want to waste my breath talking about those guys. They are just exactly the epitome of what we talk about, overhype. They are who a lot of people thought LeBron James was going to be when he entered the league in 2003. Oh, a super hype guy. He's not going to live up to expectations, and, you know, his career is going to be a bust. Well, that has been the Dallas Cowboys since 1994. Everybody puts him up there, so-called, quote-unquote, America's team. What I know, America doesn't like losers. You guys heard me say that before. America don't like losers, so I don't understand how the Dallas Cowboys are America's team. They're supposed to win the Super Bowl, and yet here we are. The Philadelphia Eagles are representing the NFC East. But back to the Buffalo Bills, man. The Buffalo Bills, they have a myriad of strengths. And one of the things that we have to pay attention to with the Buffalo Bills, they right now, according to Next Gen Stats, the Buffalo Bills have a 4.4% of winning the AFC. And they have a 0.9% chance of winning the Super Bowl. We all know the history of the Super Bowls with the Buffalo Bills. If you're old enough to remember, in the early 90s, the Buffalo Bills made the Super Bowl four times in a row. And they didn't win one. To this day, we don't know what the issue is. A team that good, they couldn't win the Super Bowl. We don't understand why. And this year, the percentage is 1%. Maybe this could be the year that everyone thinks they're not going to win and they win. Because before, everybody thought they would win and they never did. But what is the Buffalo Bills' biggest strength? Their pass defense. The Bills are the only team in the NFL to not allow a deep pass to be caught for a touchdown. A deep pass meaning 30-plus yards or more. On attempts of 20-plus yards, the Bills have the league's best regular season passer rating at 23.4. While the other team that's second behind them is the Baltimore Ravens, which has allowed the lowest passer rating when pressuring the quarterback. And that's at 45% for the Ravens. Part of the reason for this elite corner play, especially Tre'Varius White, but also the impact of safeties and linebackers Matt Milano in coverage, which combined to create horrible passing opportunities for opposing quarterbacks. You know, this is something that travels in any sport, and this is something I want to focus on. That 23.4%, which is the league's best for the Bills, is absolutely stunning, coming from a team that a lot of us didn't think could put pressure on the quarterback, but because for years that's the one weakness that they had. They couldn't put pressure on the quarterback. The defense was always on the field. And if you have watched football, you play football, you understand the concept of football. You know, your defense will most likely underperform because they are almost likely on the field a lot of time of possession. The other offense is holding the ball. They're winded, so it's most likely going to score points. But this year, the Buffalo Bills, having that great pass defense, they are allowing the Bills now to have a final good balance with running with their offense. Now, of course, with the strengths of a team, there also comes with weaknesses. And my area of concern over for the Buffalo Bills, which would probably most likely exude itself in this game for the playoffs, Josh Allen, the over-reliance of Josh Allen's legs. This is going to be Josh Allen's first time in the playoffs. We all know, first time in the playoffs, I'm sure it would be natural to have the jitters. We don't know how he's going to perform, but if you're facing a veteran coach, which he will be facing, you will be seeing different coverages, you'll be seeing different type of reads. You're probably going to have to, you know, adjust yourself in the playoffs to what you're given. And the Buffalo Bills have relied heavily on Josh Allen's legs. Look, I'm going to give you a statistic that puts all of this into perspective. Excluding week 17, the Bills were 1-3 when Josh Allen had 6 or fewer rushing attempts, and 9-2 when Josh Allen rushed 7 or more times. Context matters a lot here, right? You know why it matters? These aren't necessarily design runs, but the ability for Allen to read the coverage, run around, find a hole, and gain the yards necessary. In the playoffs, those things are going to be limited, because in the playoffs, teams have time to focus on your strengths. They're going to come after you on, well, rather your strengths on offense. They're going to come after you, and they know if Josh Allen can't move out the pocket, the Buffalo Bills' chances go down drastically. Therefore, I think the Houston Texans are going to come with a proper game plan to keep Josh Allen in the pocket, which actually will create a lot of problems for the Bills, because then Josh Allen is going to have to make decisions on the fly, which is usually not equipped to make from what I've seen this regular season. My prediction for this Buffalo Bills team is that probably they will lose to the Houston Texans. But before I give you my final score, I want to go over what the Houston Texans bring to the table in this matchup, because the Buffalo Bills will be playing the Houston Texans. So the Houston Texans, their percentage of winning the AFC is sitting at, according to Next Gen Stats, is sitting at 8.6%, and their percentage of winning the entire thing is at 1.6%. A little bit above the Buffalo Bills. But they have one strength and of course a weakness. Their strength is they have a quick strike offense. They get the ball down the field on first downs. They get the ball even further down the field on second downs. But third down is the one thing that the Houston Texans have struggled on. Will Fuller has been a bit injured this season, so they had to rely heavily on Deshaun Watson's legs, his arms, his reading of the coverage, and DeAndre Hopkins. And of course, relying heavily on Deshaun Watson's legs just because the offensive line has been a bit shaky this season. Of course, the defense have been injured a lot as well. They traded away their second best defensive player to the Seattle Seahawks. So, you know, the balance is not there for the Houston Texans. Deshaun Watson played on an MVP level this season, which allowed him to get into the playoffs. But the over-reliance on him and also the inconsistencies of their run defense, especially outside the tackles, which is actually the area of concern I'm going to tackle for them in a bit, is my concern as to why I think the Houston Texans are probably will struggle a bit this game, but most likely they will overcome and head into the next round. But one thing we need to focus on, this statistic though, one thing we need to watch, second down. Remember I mentioned that on first down, the Houston Texans do get the ball quickly. They get the ball quickly out of Deshaun Watson's hands. Sometimes he holds on to the ball, but overall he gets the ball quickly out of his hands. And this is what we need to watch. When the Texans use passes extremely efficiently between weeks 11 and week 17, they average 4.5 yards per play. That was 30th in the NFL. That was on first downs. But on second down, they were averaging 5.77 yards per play, which was fifth most in the NFL, passing on 61.6% of second down plays. So they converted 61.6% of second down plays for an average of 5.7 yards per play. If they keep up that average, which most likely, if you know the history of the playoff, most likely those things travel with you. They most likely will convert efficiently on second down, which would allow them to stay on the field longer, give the defense more rest so they could go after Josh Allen and keep him in the pocket, which eventually would allow them to win this ball game. The area of concern, though, is obviously their run defense. But the Buffalo Bills don't have a really big threat in the running game. Like I mentioned before, for the Buffalo Bills, they rely heavily on Josh Allen. So their one job is to just keep Josh Allen in the pocket. The cornerbacks will do their jobs, and I believe the Houston Texans will come out victorious. What will be my prediction for this game? I think the Houston Texans will win this game 17-10. I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring game because both defenses play very well. And I think they're going to hold each other come maybe third, fourth quarter. I think where Deshaun Watson is going to break out some magic, and I think he's going to score the go-ahead touchdown. Houston Texans wins this game 17-10. Now, let's move on to the next game at 8:15 p.m. on Saturday night. I'm sure everybody will be tuning in because a lot of us New England Patriots haters, we are tired of watching New England Patriots just easily get through people. They're going to be playing the Tennessee Titans. And of course, Tennessee has his strengths and weaknesses, just like the New England Patriots. What does the next gen stat say about the Tennessee Titans? The Tennessee Titans are standing at 4.5% of winning the AFC, and to win the Super Bowl, 0.8%. The Buffalo Bills and Tennessee Titans have about the same percentage of winning the Super Bowl. What is the Tennessee Titans' strength going overall into this playoffs? Their run and pass balance, creating play action efficiency. If you don't know, the Tennessee Titans, it's like a did you know question. Did you know that their running game has been the best in the NFL after benching Marcus Mariota and starting Ryan Tannehill, which, by the way, will be his first ever playoff start. We remember they have Derrick Henry in the backfield, which have led the NFL in rushing with 1,500 yards, 14 touchdowns, which is a career high, and made it to his first Pro Bowl. So I know for a fact that the Tennessee Titans will be relying heavily on Derrick Henry. From week 9 up to week 17, the Titans averaged 6.11 yards per rush and called for the run on 50% of their plays. That's the highest in the NFL. On first and second down combined, they not only had the highest rushing average of 6.35, but also the highest yards per play with a 123 passer rating. And get this though, per Pro Football Focus Ryan Tannehill led the NFL with 143.3 passer rating on play-action passes this season. That's the best in the NFL. And one of the best passer ratings on play-action in NFL history. Yes, it's just one season, but that speaks volumes. So, this is what the New England Patriots have to deal with going into this game. Bill Belichick, I don't know what his game plan is going to be, but if I put myself in his shoe, I believe they're going to have to stack the box with 8. They're going to have to stack the box with 8 because they're going to have to stop Derrick Henry. Because if you're averaging 6.11 yards per carry, literally, if they hand off the ball to Derrick Henry, which most likely is not going to happen every play, but if they do, if you're playing a video game, and that's the number that they're averaging, they're going to get a first down every play. So I'm assuming you're going to stack 8 in the box, and they're going to have to let Ryan Tannehill beat them. And I think Bill Belichick will take his chances with that. But with that strength that comes for the Tennessee Titans, they also have an area of concern. The inconsistent pass defense, especially on their back end. Do you guys see a trend here? All these AFC teams I already mentioned, the Bills, the Texans, the Titans, they have inconsistent pass rushes. Maybe the Bills are more consistent out of the three, and that's their strength, actually. That's why I mentioned it. It's their strength. I believe that the New England Patriots, being the team that they are and dominating a decade, they have seen everything. There's nothing that the Tennessee Titans are going to bring into this game that's going to affecting New England Patriots game plan. But one thing I know that Bill Belichick is going to do, he knows that if I can see that they have an inconsistent pass defense, he's going to exploit. Tom Brady's probably going to have one of his best games. This is how Tom Brady built his career, in the playoffs at home, and he's probably going to pass the ball a lot because they probably are going to stack the box, and they're going to want to have Tom Brady beat them, because Tom Brady has not been particularly good this season. He has played awful in comparison to his previous years, and I think Bill Belichick is going to come up with a game plan to make sure that Tom Brady reminds folks why he is, according to many, the greatest quarterback of all time, especially come playoffs. So I think it's going to be one of those games where the Titans could absolutely upset the Patriots if they don't come correct and stop Derrick Henry. But on the other hand, it's Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. I mean, what else do I really have to say about that? So if we break down the New England Patriots, we broke down the Titans, and I want to move on to the New England Patriots. Let's talk about them. Their percentage of winning the AFC is a 15.4%. That could have been a lot higher if they didn't choke their game against the Miami Dolphins. So their chances of winning the Super Bowl is at 8.2% in comparison to the Ravens, who stand at 15.6% of winning the Super Bowl. What is the New England Patriots' strength this season? Believe it or not, their passing and rush defense. That has been the theme for them the entire season. The defense has been the best thing for the New England Patriots this season. Get this. The Pats led the NFL with a 40.8 passer rating allowed on pass attempts of 10 plus yards per next gen stat. The next closest team, the Buffalo Bills, who allowed a 60.8 passer rating. New England's dominance against opposing aerial attacks might not be surprising for the second-ranked pass defense in the NFL, but also it's interesting to note that rushing against New England has gotten less efficient. Teams ran on 36.6% on plays in week 1 to 10 and 40.8% on plays from week 11 to 17. So that's a caveat here, man. The Titans come into this matchup having the best rushing game in the NFL, and the strength of the New England Patriots is stopping a run. So something got to give, right? Something got to give. And I think this is going to be an interesting chess match. I think Bill Belichick eventually is going to win. And what is the area of concern for the New England Patriots? Well, Tom Brady in the passing offense, especially under pressure. Tom Brady built a career early breaking down pressure. He used to read defenses before they came. He knew what was coming, so he would brace himself, call a play, audible, whatever the case may be, get the ball to the receiver that needed to get the ball, convert it, and move on. But this year, that has been their weakness. And we all know come playoff time, teams are going to put pressure on you. Because the only way to beat any team, regardless of quarterback, is to put pressure on them. You want quarterbacks to think fast, rather. You want them to make quick decisions, because making quick decisions are going to make you make big mistakes in the playoffs. And causing turnovers, getting points off of turnovers can allow you to win a playoff game when most of the time it won't. So I think for the New England Patriots, they're going to have to be very careful how they come out there on offense. I know I said Tom Brady's going to go out there. Bill Belichick, I believe, is going to have a game plan for him, for Tom Brady to shine. But also, the way Tom Brady has been looking, we have cause for concern. But ultimately, I believe the New England Patriots are going to come up on top. Actually, I don't even think it's going to be a close game. Yes, I broke down everything for that matchup. But I think New England Patriots at home in the playoffs this past decade is a lot of evidence. We don't know what Ryan Tannehill is going to bring. This is his first ever playoff game. So I think the New England Patriots are going to end this game 28-13. I think it's going to be a comfortable win. And I think that's what's going to be the matchup for our Saturday games. So just to recap the AFC, the Houston Texans, I think, are going to win 17-10 over the Buffalo Bills. And I think the New England Patriots are going to take over this game 28-13.
That don't make any sense.
Now that we broke down the AFC, man, this is now my personal favorite part. The NFC, man, because the team I represent when I'm wearing my fan hat is the Green Bay Packers. So I'm rooting for the NFC, obviously. And the Green Bay Packers don't play this weekend because they're the number 2 seed. Unfortunately, they missed out on the number 1 seed because the Seattle Seahawks couldn't finish business at home in week 17. So the San Francisco 49ers will be the number 1 team going into the NFC playoffs. But of course, just like we did with the AFC, with the NFC, I just want to break down the teams that play this weekend. And for the first matchup on Sunday, we're going to have the marquee matchup of the Minnesota Vikings featuring Kirk Cousins and Dalvin Cook. I can't even believe I said that. Featuring Kirk Cousins. I never trust a Kirk Cousins team, but we'll get into that eventually. And of course, we're going to go over, you know, the strengths and the weaknesses of the teams this weekend. The Minnesota Vikings featuring the New Orleans Saints. The New Orleans Saints, let's start with them. They have a 23.2% chance percent of winning the NFC and, of course, a 15% chance of winning the Super Bowl. Now, you might be wondering, wait a minute, how does the number 3 seed, New Orleans Saints, have a higher percentage than the Green Bay Packers to win the Super Bowl? Because right now, the Green Bay Packers, let me look that up for you. The Green Bay Packers right now are sitting at 14.9%. Whoopie-doo, a 0.1% chance of winning the Super Bowl. But this is the reason why, objectively looking at this, why the New Orleans Saints have a higher percentage of winning the Super Bowl and actually winning the NFC over the Green Bay Packers is because of their aerial attack is just peaking at the right time. First of all, they have Drew Brees, which is, to me, arguably top 5 quarterback of all time. Statistic-wise, he's top 5 ever. I don't even know how there's an argument. But this is the key for me. This is the key. One big advantage is the offensive efficiency of New Orleans on early downs, something that Green Bay hasn't showed over the entire season. I've watched every Green Bay Packers game this season, and one thing that they struggle with as to why Aaron Rodgers' numbers has not been what we have expected from the great Aaron Rodgers is because on first and second downs, the Green Bay Packers is just getting 1, 2, 3 yards sometimes. And on the good down, they'll probably get 4 or 5 yards. But they've been averaging about 3, 2, 3 yards on first and second downs, and that leaves you with third and long most of the time, and the Green Bay Packers are almost dead last in the NFL on converting on third downs. But that is not the case for New Orleans. Listen to this. In week 11 to week 16, Drew Brees completed 75.9% of his passes for 19 touchdowns, 125.9 passer rating, with the league's highest win share receiver, which happens to be Michael Thomas, who, by the way, has broken Marvin Harrison's single-season record for receptions in a regular season. Drew Brees is top 7 overall in win shares this season by himself, aside from Michael Thomas, which helps a great amount in next-gen stats, pro football focus, putting up these numbers to allow you to understand what are the possibilities of the New Orleans Saints winning this matchup against the Minnesota Vikings. So the overall strength for the Saints, which has been their strength for the past decade, it's just their passing attack. And as long as that passing game is on point, I think the New Orleans Saints can beat anybody. But just like your great strengths, there's also weaknesses. And what is the weakness that I believe will come in for the New Orleans Saints? What true impact with Sheldon Rankings and Marcus Davenport going on the injured reserve is going to have for them? Look, week 14 was the last game that both players were on defense. In weeks 1 through 14, the Saints were able to pressure opposing quarterbacks at 29.3%. Since those two guys went down, according to Next Gen Stats, they were only able to put pressure on 23.7%, which is 18th in the NFL. Not so great. However, this takes more context to understand, though. Over those two games, I need for you guys to understand something. In these contexts, because as those two games were blowouts, New Orleans beat the Colts 34-7, and those games that those two guys didn't play, where Ryan Kings and Davenport didn't play, they beat the Colts 34-7 in week 15, and then they beat the Panthers 42-10 in week 17, while the other one was a 10-point win for the Saints. Okay. 6% pass pressure. It might not seem like a lot, but come playoff time, it can come down to a 3rd-and-1. It can come down to 3rd-and-5. It can be a situation where the team decides to run a play action. If you do not get pressure on that quarterback and that team converts, that one play can knock you out the playoffs. Ask the Minnesota Vikings the last time. Actually, ask the New Orleans Saints the last time they played the Minnesota Vikings at Minnesota's Dome. Ask them what happened. It's called the Minnesota Miracle, where Stephon Diggs caught that ball on the sideline and ran it down for 30 yards and won the game in the playoffs. You guys remember that? Well, yes. One play can end your season. So, if those two guys are on the injured reserve and they're not able to play and their percentage is going to carry over, which is something that does carry over, your defense carryovers everywhere. If you have not been consistent during the regular season, you probably will not be consistent in the playoffs. And that's going to cause you a lot of problems because, like I mentioned before, in the playoffs, teams tend to pay more attention to detail because they want to make sure they have everything under grabs to win the game. So that's the New Orleans Saints, though. But let's move on to the Minnesota Vikings with their strength and their weaknesses. The Minnesota Vikings started the season very well. They were competing with the Green Bay Packers to win the NFC North. But eventually, we saw how that panned out for them, partly because Dalvin Cook was injured for some of those games. And he wasn't able to perform up to level, and Kirk Cousins was being Kirk Cousins. There was this ridiculous stat shown around on SportsCenter. If you're on Twitter, you've probably seen it as well. Kirk Cousins' record in primetime games was something like, on Monday Night Football, he's 0-9 during primetime games. He's like 2-14. So yeah, this is a primetime game. This is the game most people are going to focus on Sunday. And man, the Minnesota Vikings, their percentage of winning the NFC is sitting right now at 9.7%. Their percentage of winning overall the Super Bowl, everything, that's sitting at 2.3%. Now, what is the strength of the Minnesota Vikings? The run game leading to play action. Dalvin Cook, that's the key. Not Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins had a great season this season, partly because he had a great offensive line and partly because he has Dalvin Cook, and also partly because they have top 5 defense in the NFL. Listen to this. On early downs, first and second down, those are the early downs. On first and second down, Dalvin Cook is averaging 5.6 yards per touch. 5.6 yards per touch. That's what Dalvin Cook is averaging. That's how valuable he is to this Minnesota Vikings play action. Look what the Green Bay Packers did to the Minnesota Vikings when Dalvin Cook didn't play in week 16. They just dominated Kirk Cousins. The Smith brothers took over their offensive line. And according to play action, okay, Kirk Cousins is tied with Lamar Jackson at 14 touchdown passes off play action. Overall, Cousins ranks fourth in the NFL with 129.2 passer rating on play action passes. Again, Dalvin Cook is the key to this Minnesota Vikings offense. I just mentioned the weakness for the New Orleans Saints. They can't get pressure on Kirk Cousins, according to the statistics, but they still have to play the game. Playing that dome, not being able to hear your signals as the opponent, can cause a lot of problems. So maybe still the New Orleans Saints will get pressure on Kirk Cousins, but Dalvin Cook needs to be efficient for the Minnesota Vikings to even have a chance against this New Orleans Saints lethal attack. Now, what is the area of concern I have for the Minnesota Vikings? Their cornerback play. Their cornerback play has not been to the level it has been for the past 3 years. Former team All-Pro Xavier Rhodes has struggled mightily. Teams, when Xavier Rhodes is covering the number one receiver and number two receiver for any team, teams are converting on 84.3%, and they have the third highest passer rating at 127.8. That's the highest among all 87 corners who had at least 50 targets thrown at them, according to Pro Football Focus. Xavier Rhodes is probably going to guard Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas has been dominating with double teams, triple teams. Nobody's going to stop Michael Thomas this game. So the Minnesota Vikings key is get to Drew Brees early. The first 1 or 2 seconds they need to get in that backfield to disrupt what Drew Brees and that New Orleans Saints offense is going to do. Because, yeah, Xavier Rhodes and those cornerbacks, man, they're going to give a big play. So they need to, especially now that they're on the road, they need to get pressure on the Minnesota Vikings, on the New Orleans Saints, excuse me. Of course, one of the strengths that I mentioned, which is the run game, I think one of the strengths for the Minnesota Vikings is their consistency on third down. They have the best third down defense in the NFL. And if you've watched the game between the Packers and the Vikings, you will know. They held the Packers do absolutely almost nothing on third downs, and most likely they'll probably hold the New Orleans Saints to almost nothing on third down. But we'll see. That's a very intriguing matchup, and it's very interesting to me because each team's strength is the other team's weakness and vice versa. But eventually, my prediction for this game is I think the New Orleans Saints will actually win a very, very close game. It's not going to be as close as the NFC Championship last year, where I think the referees are going to screw it over, but no. I think New Orleans Saints are probably going to put up about 24 points to Minnesota's 17. I think the New Orleans Saints are going to come up with a drive mid-fourth quarter that probably will seal the game for them. And I think they will move on to the next round. So let's move on to two other teams that I personally will put my focus on, like I mentioned earlier in the episode. The Seattle Seahawks versus the Philadelphia Eagles. Russell Wilson versus Carson Wentz. Two young, dynamic quarterbacks. Both of these men lead their team in passing with their legs. They can read coverages. So, of course, we want to go over the strengths and weaknesses of each team. The Philadelphia Eagles, of course, their percentage of winning the NFC. Most of us didn't even think they will make the playoff based on all the injuries they've been having. But right now, their percentage of winning the NFC is sitting at 5.2%. And their chances of winning the Super Bowl is 1.1%. What is the strength to me of the Philadelphia Eagles going into this game? They have a very creative, efficient offense despite the injuries. So Doug Peterson has been doing a great job. It's almost like Doug Peterson has been taught a life lesson. When you're thrown lemons, you can make lemonades. I can never remember. I'm bad at those things, remembering those type of quotes. But the point is, you do the best you can with what you have. And Doug Peterson should be, he probably should be vaulted up there in like top 5 coach of the year. Because there's no way the Philadelphia Eagles should be in the position they are right now without that creative, efficient offense. And having finally Carson Wentz healthy, they lost Zach Ertz, DeSean Jackson, Nelson No Hands Aguilar. They lost, who else did they lose on their offense? They lost a myriad of their wide receivers. Their running backs are gone. They lost their Pro Bowl right tackle. Lost a guard. They lost defensive linemen. Man, it's ridiculous. And this is the statistic that's crazy to me. Since week 14, Pro Football Focus counts 31 screen pass attempts by the Eagles on offense. That's the most in the NFL. During that current 4-game winning streak, Carson Wentz has completed 28 of 31 screen passes for 237 yards. So just pay attention to that. The Seattle Seahawks probably know this, because if I'm looking at this, Pro Football Focus is looking at this, I think the Seattle Seahawks are going to be bracing themselves for those screen passes, because that's how the Philadelphia Eagles have been making their money the last 4 weeks, man. That's how they'll be able to make it in the playoffs now. Their run game has finally come alive again. Of course, we talked about the screen passes, their play action, Carson Wentz, it's accurate. And that's the reason why Carson Wentz was paid, and Dak Prescott is still not paid. Because Dak Prescott has, you think if Carson Wentz was the Dallas Cowboys quarterback right now, the Dallas Cowboys would be in the playoffs. Most likely they'd probably be the number one seed, actually. That's how good the Cowboys are talent-wise. But everyone's talking about, oh, how great Dak Prescott has been doing this season. Dude, a quarterback of Carson Wentz caliber would have taken this Dallas Cowboys team to the playoffs. Simple as that. But I don't want to waste my breath talking about that right now. If you want to focus on the area of concern for the Philadelphia Eagles, is their slow starts. Granted, it can be justified by having the fact that they have a lot of people injured. They always playing from behind. But playing from behind can also help you build character. It helps you build the confidence that, hey, even though we're down, we can come back and win. And that's what the Philadelphia Eagles have been doing the last four games of the season. That's an area for concern, because in the playoffs, as you go, if you are playing, especially on the road, which in this case, they will be playing at home. But if you fall back early, it's very hard to recover. You have to expend a lot of energy. You have to put in a lot of time, because offenses are going to come in there with a game plan. They're going to be more efficient. You're not going to get as much takeaways, and you're going to get less chances of coming back in games when you trail early. So in this case, I think the Philadelphia Eagles have some things to think about, but ultimately, I don't think they are going to win this game. But before I give my final prediction on that matchup, we want to go over the Seattle Seahawks, man. The Seattle Seahawks have, of course, some things that concern me and a lot of things that I believe will give them a path to going all the way to the Super Bowl. According to Next Gen Stats, their percentage for the Seattle Seahawks of winning the Super Bowl is sitting at 10.3%. To winning the NFC is sitting at 10.3%, and to win the Super Bowl is at 2.4%. Now, what is the biggest strength for the Seattle Seahawks? The Seattle Seahawks have Russell Wilson, one. And number two, he is the best quarterback at overcoming his pressure-friendly O-line. What do I mean by that? Russell Wilson has been dodging bullets, man. He's been dodging bullets almost his whole career. He has not had a good offensive line for maybe his rookie season, or his sophomore season. He has not had a good offensive line, but yet Russell Wilson has been performing to an MVP caliber level. All right? And I think he's going to be the biggest key for the Seattle Seahawks and what they do on offense. This is a crazy statistic to also pay attention to as to why the reliance on Russell Wilson and why he's been so good. Next Gen Stats shows that Russell Wilson, of 104 passing attempts from outside the tackle box, is tied with Deshaun Watson for most in the NFL. Russell Wilson has also completed 81 passes on the run, with his moving from the base, moving out the pocket, which is also top in the league. Meaning, he's practically baby Aaron Rodgers when Aaron Rodgers was his age, Russell Wilson's age. He's pinpoint accurate when he's out the pocket. So, the Philadelphia Eagles are going to have their hands full trying to keep Russell Wilson in the pockets. With running quarterbacks, that's what you want to do. You want to keep them in the pocket. You want to make them make plays inside the pocket. When you're outside the pocket, you make defenses move. You make people defend longer than they need to. That's why those quarterbacks are efficient. So the struggle for the Eagles are going to be trying to keep Russell in there so they can have a chance with their depleted roster to compete in this game. Now, again, whatever comes with your strength, there's also the weakness. And the big inconsistent weakness for me, for the Seattle Seahawks, is the inconsistent defensive pressure. I don't even know why I said that, actually. Inconsistent concern. Just don't mind that. My area of concern for the Seahawks is just their inconsistent defensive pressure. They're just not getting any pressure on the quarterback. And of course, like I mentioned before, if you're not getting pressure on great quarterbacks or any quarterback in the NFL, they will tear you apart. They traded Jadeveon Clowney from the Houston Texans. The Seattle Seahawks did that early in the season. Jadeveon Clowney has led the Seahawks with 32 QB pressures this season, the second fewest for any team leader. That's the second fewest. You would think, oh, that's a lot. Nope. They really haven't got no pressure on the quarterback. And they're going to be playing a quarterback that you need to put pressure on him. If you don't put pressure on Carson Wentz, he will tear you apart. All right. Next Gen Stats also showed that Seattle's defense pressures a quarterback at a 24.6% rate with a 4.8% sack rate. That's with Jadeveon Clowney in the lineup. Without him, those numbers drop from 17.5% pressure to 3.9%. Even against a banged up Eagles, that's not good enough. And if they keep that up, they could lose this game. But ultimately, because they have a seasoned Russell Wilson and this is going to be Carson Wentz's first ever game in the playoffs, granted, it is at home. He's going to get a little boost. I think the Seattle Seahawks have been through a lot of battles. Their coach is battle-tested with Pete Carroll. Their quarterback is one of the best in the NFL. And I think this is the game that I think a lot of people think might be a blowout. But I think the Seattle Seahawks are going to win this game on a final attempt field goal. I think the game is going to end 27-24. It's going to go tied into the last couple minutes. I think Russell Wilson is going to come up with a drive from, I think about, I predict from the Eagles 30-yard line to, from the Seattle's 30-yard line to the Eagles, I say 20, 30-yard line. They kick a field goal and win this game. And I actually think that will absolutely be the best game of this wildcard weekend. I hope I'm wrong. I hope all the games are great, but ultimately, that's my breakdown of the NFC portion of this wildcard weekend. Ah, we've come to the end of another episode. Episode number 60 of the Statman Sports Podcast. Man, I hope you guys enjoyed listening to this episode just as much as I enjoyed recording it. This recording happened on January 1st, 2020, first episode of the 2020 season. I know, before I let you guys go, I know I just wanted to focus on the NFL wildcard weekend, but while doing this recording, you know, I just couldn't help my phone going off, and I just received news that a former NBA commissioner, David Stern, has passed away this afternoon at age 77 after suffering brain hemorrhage 3 weeks ago. This is a report from the NBA offices. So David Stern, rest in peace. You know, let's just hold his family up in prayer. Those of you who believe in God and you who are Christians, you know, just pray for David Stern's family. You know, he was a great man. He was a great ambassador for the game. He was just a great commissioner for the NBA, and he will be dearly missed around the league. So, you know, life is tough, man. These things are gonna happen, but sometimes we just have to, you know, take them as they go, learn our lessons, and move on. But once again, be with David Stern's family. But before I let you guys go, though, you know what the deal is, man. If you're here for the first time from the beginning, just hit that subscribe button if you haven't done that already. Usually I give a small promo about our store and our website, but right now we're running into some technical issues which will be taken care of soon, and you'll be able to go back on the website. But for right now, if you want to go back and take any notes for the podcast, you can go to our Buzzsprout.com, look for Statman Sports Podcast, or you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts, man. And once again, hit that subscribe button. That would help us a lot. And I can't wait, man. I can't wait to get this going for 2020. But for right now, Statman signing out, baby.
Thanks for listening to the Statman Sports Podcast. See you next time.